When I was a youth minister, we would take the confirmation class made up of a dozen or so 7th and 8th graders on a weekend retreat. Any teachers out there? Because that sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? Now, this trip would be to the summer camp that our diocese in Pittsburgh has a partnership with, and it's up on the shores of Lake Erie over in Ohio. It's a beautiful spot to get away.
Got mail.
To get to know each other and to study and perform a work project in and around the camp. While on retreat one year, in preparation, one of our chaperones had a great idea. To give the kids a side project, they had to memorize a short piece of scripture. And I like to involve myself with my kids the same way I did when I was a football coach and a teacher for so many years. So I picked up a piece to learn for myself. And that, so we put these little strips of scripture that had been printed out on a sheet, we cut them all up, and they looked like, you know, the fortunes you get out of a cookie, but just a little bit longer. And the kids could keep them in their Bibles or their prayer books or in their pocket. And so the strip that I got was Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. So over the course of the weekend, the kids would practice and read their scripture, and at random times throughout the weekend, they could come up to each other and say, read me your scripture. Say your scripture. Tell me your scripture. And they would start from memory and go as far as they could and then reach in their pocket and take out that strip and recite the rest of it. But this was going back and forth all weekend through camp, at the work sites, at mealtime, walking to and from wherever. And you could hear scripture out loud that whole weekend. It was wonderful. Have you tried this? To actually make yourself memorize a piece of scripture? I know that it was common in Sunday school, before my time even. But it doesn't come easy for me. So what I noticed about Romans 8 in this, the last two verses, and this is our reading today, by the way, is that it contains pairs. And if I studied those pairings, I could then break it down and memorize smaller pieces and then bring them all back together. Death, life. Angels, rulers, present, yet to come, height, depth. Powers is inserted there on its own, so I just had to go ahead and memorize that and where it came in the order. But everything else there was right there in pairs. And this helped my study. So at the end of the retreat weekend, we all took our turn standing up and reciting our scripture as best we could, and we all did all right. Jesus puts before a great crowd of people and his disciples a series of parables describing the kingdom of heaven. These parables are told from many perspectives. A gardener, a baker, a treasure hunter, which in modern terms I like to picture as being an antiquer. Some of you like to do this on the weekends as well, too. Just go look for hidden treasures. Merchant or a business person, and a fisher. Jesus tells these stories about heaven to help our understanding. And if you look at them again, they pair up pretty well. The mustard seed and the yeast, the hidden treasure and the valuable pearl, the full net we can pair with last Sunday's parable of the wheat in the weeds, and how the good and the bad will be separated at the close of the age. Jesus is sharing these various images of heaven to the crowd of people so that they can relate. He uses different stories with different characters so they can visualize heaven in their own personal way. So I ask us, what does our parable of heaven look like? How does it go? We don't have time this morning to dwell on all of these pairings, but let's take a closer look at the first two, the mustard seed and the yeast. These two Jesus tells to the crowd of people, of followers, numbering in the thousands. The other parables he shares with his disciples after they leave the crowd and return to the house. Both the mustard seed and the yeast are tiny objects with incredible potential energy. The mustard seed is small, about the size of a pinpoint. And one Sunday, our church, my home church, I don't know who it was, but it was a wonderful idea. They scotch taped a mustard seed on everybody's bulletin. And that must have taken the collators quite a bit of time. Because our church on any given Sunday is 400 to 500 people on a weekend. That's a lot of bulletins, and that's a lot of mustard seeds to have to tape. But the point was there because in the sermon, the priest mentioned it, and half of us didn't even know the seed was there. It's very small. But it will grow into a great shrub when planted and cared for, and be the home of many birds. The yeast, when mixed with flour or meal, will make many loaves of bread. The shrub that grows from the mustard seed will get about 10 feet tall. Not that spectacular a height. Not like a cedar tree that also grows in the area of where Jesus was teaching. But the shrub is large enough to be the home of many birds. Jesus doesn't use the example of a great and towering height. He uses the example of a more common shrub height that grows in neighborhoods anywhere and is known better to the people that he's talking to. They have seen and heard the birds in these shrubs. They can understand. They know the baking of bread and the need for yeast to be added to flour. Now, this is 3 measures of flour. And when I first read this, I think, well, I've baked bread. I know what 3 measures is. 3 cups, right? And that should give you, a couple of loaves. But Jesus uses this amount again. It's not an overwhelming amount or a large amount. But I remember hearing 3 measures of flour somewhere else in my Old Testament studies. Does anyone remember where that is mentioned as well? So I had to go back and I said, oh yeah, I was just recently looking at Genesis. And it's in Genesis chapter 18. Abraham and Sarah are visited by 3 travelers. And we heard this reading in our gospel not too long ago, this summer. So Abraham is visited by these three people, and he becomes aware that one of them is God and the other two are angels. And he quickly orders Sarah and his servants to prepare a small feast. And he says, including 3 measures of meal to make cakes. So when I see it twice, to me, and once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament, to me, that's Google-worthy. So I said, okay, what does a measure, what is a measure? What is 3? How much is that actually? Is it 3 cups? Is it, it's 6 gallons of flour. Enough to make about close to 50 loaves of bread. Now this will feed over 100 people. So now you're talking about a size of a feast, let's say a wedding or a similar celebration, an event that the people in the crowd would be familiar with. These 3 men during this visit later tell Abraham and Sarah that they will have a son, even in their very old age. Jesus uses short, obtainable time frames in these parables. Something obtainable in a lifetime. Not a seed to grow into a giant oak or a cedar or a redwood, but into a shrub. Bread that can be baked in an afternoon. Jesus therefore tells the people and us that heaven is not far off and unreachable. It is here and now. Jesus' ministry on earth was about the kingdom of heaven being here at hand. He told his disciples to go out and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is not just because of his physical presence before them, but because God is always with us and present in our lives through the gift of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And as Paul says, this cannot be separated from us. Once we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and ask him into our hearts and into our lives, and we walk, we grow in the Spirit, there can be no separation. God's love is ever present. We may have moments of doubt. We will have our moments when we turn away in anger, and we will have our moments of confusion over what God has planned for us in this crazy world. The lesson for the kids on the confirmation retreat was not just to memorize a few words of Scripture. In coaching and teaching, we call this technique a head fake. We instruct our students one thing to do, one assignment, and to accomplish it, but we want them to learn many other things. So in essence, we would really want them to learn. The lesson was that when you are faced with a challenge in life, in your walk with Christ, you have help. You have the strip of paper. You always have your Bible and your prayer book with you. You have friends that you can share it with, and they can share it with you. And you can talk to them going through the same challenges or something similar. And because of that, they will understand. And also they learn that the Word of God is more meaningful and powerful when it is shared. The Word starts small, like a mustard seed or a single cell of yeast or a thin strip of paper, but it grows and raises and expands. We understand that the Word must be shared to work and to grow. Today's gospel from Matthew ends with Jesus asking his disciples, "Have you understood all of this?" this set of parables that he has told them. And they said to him, "Yes." My answer, after reading all of those parables today, is, well, most of it. But then I look out among friends, and I thank God that I have lots of help. Amen.